true.
We began off a topic some 3 weeks back on, what is it called, week? So 2 weeks back, on the topic I titled Contending for the Faith. Hallelujah. Contending for the Faith. Glory to God. We've not gotten into our teaching per se because we need to deal with some issues. I call it elementary issues. Hallelujah. Come on. I told us we have a sitting pattern, right? Oh yeah. Over here, this. Over here, what should it be? Fast. You and your pastor, just switch it in. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do that right away. Go to God. As you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Glory of the Lord. Okay, Matthew 28. From verses 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. Now we're looking at contending for the faith. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Make sure you're reading from your Bible. When you don't come to church with Bible, you can be easily deceived. Amen? Amen. And we are not in the system of putting Bible on any screen. We don't have any screen to put Bible. Amen. So make sure you read the Bible. Very vital. So then Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, that's the word power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He's going to say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. Now says, and this time, what am I reading? But I said Matthew and everybody was still in Matthew. You are still in Matthew and I'm reading something. So that means your mind wasn't there. Amen. Let's see where you are. So how am I reading something else and you are here? Even in Matthew 7, Matthew 1. Okay. Amen. Okay, Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Can you see why you must only have your Bible? And came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples. Go therefore and teach all nations, right? Make disciples of every nation. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, right? Always, even to the ends of the age. Now, when it says, I am with you, is the word we've been looking at, right? Is that what we've been looking at? I am with you. In Mark 16, from verse 15, it says, then go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this time, shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. Those people knew. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick would recover. Verse 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. Yeah? What did they do? And they went forth everywhere, with the Lord walking with them, verse 20, walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. What does it mean? Confirming the word with signs following. So we say a major fact of the gospel is the fact that Jesus says, I am with you always. Is that? So when Matthew says, I am, is the word used for God in Exodus chapter 3. When Moses asked, who would I say send? He said, tell them, I am. That is God's name. So I am is not just a verb, like we said. We've been saying in the last 2 weeks, I am is a proper name. Then it's God's name. I am is the name of God. So in Israel, the Jews, or in Israel, you don't use the word I am, no. Because the word I am is for God. What are you hearing? Amen? It's for God. It's the name reserved for God. So it's not a name you use anyhow, it's God's name. Hallelujah, it's the word I am. And what do you find in Genesis 1:3? When God says, let there be light, the Hebrew word say, I have, is the one that means I am light. God is saying he is the light in the darkness. Did you see that? So God says, I am is God's name. Is the proper name. The word I have is God's proper name. Hallelujah. In the Greek is the word egoema. Egoema. In John chapter 8, Jesus used that word egoema. He said, before Abraham was there, I am. And what he was referring to Abraham, he was saying he's the God of Abraham. So when Jesus says, I am with you, he's telling them, the word I am is the fact that points out to Jesus, or that points Jesus as the God of the Old Testament books. What about you, what I mean? So the fact of our believer's faith is Jesus is God. What about you, what I mean? Is Jesus is God. Amen? That is the fact of our Christian faith. Jesus is God. A denial of Jesus as God is unbelief. Because God became a man. So Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Say Jesus is God. Say it again. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So when he says, I am with you, is another very important thing you must find, because if Jesus is the Savior, if Jesus is the Messiah, if he is the Deliverer, then he would be with them. Amen? So the use of the word Savior, remember in Matthew 1, I mean in Matthew, quickly rush to Matthew. Matthew quickly, chapter 1. This is 21. It says, this is Joseph in a dream. He says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he shall save. When you use the word save there, that means Jesus will be the performer. Okay, follow me. Now, the performer is called the soldier in salvation. So, in their world, when they call you a savior, what it means is that you will be found with the people that you saved. Did you see that? So, when Jesus was teaching them, he now says, I am with you. For him to say, I am with you, he confides on him the position of the Savior. Amen? Okay, follow me. So Jesus is the Savior. I am with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So God never leaves the believer. Okay, follow me. Amen? So when believers of a Christian begin to say, Jesus is coming back again, is a major offset on his faith. Hallelujah. When he's waiting for something to come from the sky, no. Hallelujah. Amen. Because Jesus never left the believer. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see that? So that means that Jesus, the only believer, is the believer's everyday reality. Everyday reality. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, Jesus is with me. Say, Jesus is with me. Hallelujah. So Jesus never left the believer. He never left the believer. The believer is never left alone. Never. I don't know one time. There was a woman that was possessed with a demon years back. Let me not use it that way. A woman that was having mental issues, mental crisis, but though possessed with a demon. So me and a friend were called to go minister to the woman. So we got there in a house and we met the husband. And the husband began to talk. Woman was open, why is God wicked? Why would God leave? Like God left his children and went away and left his children with a lion. Who is the lion? The devil. That's nonsense. Amen. God never leaves the believer. Hello, amen. Say, God never leaves the believer. Amen. If there's anything you forget, never forget it. God never leaves the believer. God is with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God is with me. Say, God is with me. Glory, glory, glory. So God never leaves the believer. So the soldier will be found with those whom he delivered. Right? Right? Hallelujah. So when I say Jesus left the believer, it's not a fact of the gospel. Glory to God. So what is this? If we go further, Luke made us see. Now, that fact of he being with us, it was said by all the writers of the synoptic. Hallelujah. It was said by all the writers of the synoptic. Look at Luke. Luke said the same thing. I showed us that. Look at John. John 14. John 14 verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. Look for John 14, 16. Another comforter, that he may abide with you. That's it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because never see him nor know him. He said, but you know him. For shall be in you and shall dwell with you. And that says, I will not leave you orphans. That is verse 18. John 14, 18. He says, I will not leave you orphans. What did he say? I will come to you. Is that so? I will say that I will come to you is not what will happen called rapture. Was that what we said? We said, I will come to you will be a fact of the resurrection, which means I will resurrect and I will be found with you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, all Jesus, will be found with the believer. Hallelujah. A major fact. So when he now tells them in John chapter 20, verses 21, it says, he came to them and said, and then he breathed on them. John 20 quickly. John 20, make sure you're there. Are you John 20? Verse 21. And he said to them, peace unto you, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he said it, in his breath on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 21. And I said, whosoever sins ye remit are remitted to them, and whosoever ye retain are retained. Or say, whosoever sins ye forgive are forgiven. Or whosoever sin ye whosoever sin ye remit are remitted, and whosoever sins ye retain are retained. Now when he uses that, who forgives sins is the question you have. Who does it? God forgives sins. And if Jesus stands in the resurrection and tells his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive shall forgive him. What does that mean? It means that in the resurrection, God will be carrying out his task through his believers, through his children. Or we say, in the preaching of the gospel, look at how Luke will put it, that repentance and remission of sins, Luke chapter 24 verse 47, he said that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. So that means, forgiveness of sins is a preaching, is a message. What are you hearing me? Forgiveness of sins is a message. So repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name. Is an instruction. So when he said to them, whosoever sins ye forgive are forgiven, is in the preaching of the gospel. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, we are standing in the stead of God.
Hallelujah. I will say, God is carrying out his assignment through us. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder the writer Paul of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Quickly, everybody rush to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hope you're following me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Quickly. Verses 17. If you then go to take this. Is it therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new. See, all things are God, who have reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Did you see that? Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So, how was God reconciling the world to himself? How was God doing that? In Christ, right? God was in Christ. And he has given to us the word of reconciliation. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, God is doing the same reconciliation he did in Christ through us. Hope you're following me. Amen? So we can say in the preaching of the gospel, God is carrying out his acts in all the earth through us. Hope you're following that. God is carrying out his tasks in all the earth through us. Okay, it said further. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is carrying out his tasks in all the earth through us. So, look at something that Luke shows us in Luke 24, verses 44, in the 45. Luke makes us see something, 44. Luke 24, 44. It says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. They open me their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Look at what it says. Luke is making you see that Jesus read from Genesis down to Malachi. Look at verses 25. Look at Luke 24:25. Say, O fools and slobber, to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses. Isn't that? Beginning at Moses would mean Jesus began to read from Genesis. Jesus had the Bible. Jesus began to read from Genesis. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, down to Malachi. Did you see that? He expanded unto them in all the scriptures, Genesis and to Malachi, the things concerning himself. What Luke is telling you is that what Jesus was doing when he used the word expound is the word to interpret. So Jesus was doing Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. So he gets back to Matthew 28:20. Where is he teaching them? What did Jesus do in Luke 24? He was teaching them. Isn't that? So something I'm going to show you next week is how the word teach was used. Amen. You discover all the way Jesus used the word teach. He was using it in relation to the 39 books, Genesis and to Malachi. So that means the Bible, listen, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Quickly. Verses 16, 2 Timothy 3, 16. It is, all scriptures, right? 2 Timothy, quickly. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It is, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. All scriptures. Is that Genesis down to Malachi? Yes. Hallelujah. In our today world, can we say Genesis down to Revelation? Emphatically, yes also. Did you see that? Amen. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word didaskalia. Teaching. Profitable for teaching. So that means what scriptures are for is for, scriptures are not for quoting. Scriptures are not for memory verse. I know we learn memory verses. But scriptures are not for memory verses. Scriptures are not for quoting. Scriptures are for teaching. So, a wrong way to use your Bible is to use the Bible for quoting. It's a wrong way to use the Bible. Hallelujah. To use the Bible to memorize verses is a wrong way to use your Bible. Bible is not for backing up. No! Bible is not to back up what is in your mind. No. Bible is for teaching. Okay, everybody. Hallelujah. Bible is for teaching, not for quoting, not for memory verse, not for backing up. Some people say, can you back it up with scripture? No. You say, Bible is not for backing up. Bible is for teaching. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say Bible. Say it to someone, Bible is not for quoting. Say it to the person again, Bible is not for quoting. It's not for memory verse. It's not for backing up. Bible is for teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't use it for Bible. Some people won't use it for protection too. You put Bible under their pillow. Bible is not a jar. You use that as jar. Bible is not jar. Amen. Not jar. You don't copy. You don't learn how to use the Bible from Nollywood, from African magic, from rock, R-O-K. You don't learn it from Telemundo. No. You learn the use of Bible in the church. Because you see them act movies. People that are acting movies that are not born again. And the person who is not born again is acting a pastor. And he's using the Bible to do a juke, and you are doing it too. No, it's a juke. No, it's a juke. Don't worry. Sorry. It shows you didn't play Street Fighter. Hallelujah. Use the Bible to be doing audacious. What nonsense is that? Hallelujah. Some people will quote your Bible like they say, yeah, because that is worth the fire. It's worth the prayer. You don't read your Bible. I come against you. No! The Bible is not for that. Amen? Amen? You know, the Bible is my sword. I use it to cut. No! Hallelujah! Bible is for teaching. Glory to God. So the way scriptures are done is that scriptures, for you to understand scriptures, you ought to be taught. Jesus was taught scriptures. Paul was taught scriptures. Peter and his disciples, all the apostles were taught scriptures. Hallelujah. In Luke 2, Jesus was found with the Pharisees and he was taught. The scholars of scriptures, he was taught. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Glory to God. Okay, let's move further. Amen. So, never use it. I say that whole lot. Don't use Bible for some funny things. Amen. Don't use it for some funny things. You should read your Bible. And maybe your Bible is not, don't use it for, I'm going to look for trouble tonight. This is me. Bible is not for sword drill. You know sword drill? Bring back your sword, your Bible.
Open to.
And because you want sword drill, you think you know scripture. Amen. Stop doing nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you go to church and expect to be in a bouncing castle? Go to church to have a bouncing castle. And you want to go to church and you begin, be bouncing. The church is not for that. The same way you don't use your Bible for this thing. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen? You don't use your Bible for such. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus taught them in Luke 24, like we said, in verse 27, he used the word expound. Expound means to explain, to interpret. Therefore, when he now says to his disciples, teaching them in Matthew 28, it then means what he has committed to his disciples is what? Interpretation. That means the local church, that is the church, is where Bible is interpreted properly. Amen. Teaching. Interpreted properly. Oh, and it's very important. It's very important. Which scriptures are interpreted properly? Something you must notice is the fact that
When it comes to the work of ministry or the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus is a teaching ministry. The ministry of Jesus is a teaching ministry. Some people say, I've been called as a prophet. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a prophet. I give you conk. What nonsense is that? Amen? The ministry of Jesus is a teaching ministry. Amen? It's just like saying, I don't like teaching. My only job is to do the prophetic. Nothing. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. It's just like someone saying, I'm a medical doctor, but I don't like human body. Can't say you're a medical doctor, I don't like human body. And I hate seeing people, I hate seeing sick people. Is that possible? Amen? Very well. Very vital. But let's proceed. So Jesus has committed to the church, the local church, the what? The task of interpreting scriptures. So that means what should be taught in the church is Bible interpretation. I would say the goal of Bible interpretation is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. To find out what was in the mind of Peter, the mind of Paul, the mind of Moses, the mind of Joshua when they wrote. And funny enough, those guys are not around. They are all dead. Amen. So how would I find out what was in their mind? I have their material. I have what they have written. So that means I have what to look out for to know what they were writing about, which is their text. So what they've written carries both their intention and their construction. Hallelujah. And we said, Bible interpretation would always lead to worship. Amen? Would always lead to the worship of God. Exodus chapter 3 verse 12. Would always lead to the worship of God. So that means, if my interpretation of Bible is wrong, I will worship God wrongly. What about that? If my Bible interpretation is wrong, I will worship God wrongly. Oh yes. Here we go. Hallelujah. Worship God wrongly. You're very wrong. I will say, two things will stand out, right? We said, a text cannot mean to the word it never meant when the writer wrote. You know, some people have interpreted, we look at the word blessed. We're going to get there. We look at the word blessed. Today they tell somebody, I want to bless you. What comes to your mind is what? Money. Ego. Kudi. Oh. Money comes to mind. Some people will say, God has blessed me. God has given me money. That's what comes to your mind. But actually, blessed doesn't really mean money. What does it mean? The word blessed, which is in the Greek, which is in the Hebrew, barak, and in the Greek, eulogia, is used for a commendation. A commendation, to speak well of. Amen? Some people are looking at on Thursdays when we are teaching on giving. Hallelujah! They will use bad people again to speak well of. In 2 Corinthians, we're not getting there today. Hallelujah. So a text cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote. When Paul was writing and he said, my old man was crucified. If you read old man today as your father, you have missed it. Because Paul wasn't talking about his father as the man crucified with Jesus. But when you read it today as Paul's father, then you are misinterpreting scriptures. Hope you are following me. Amen? So I must read scriptures. A text cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote. Hope you are following me. Number two, we said a text must be allowed to interpret itself. Scripture must be allowed to interpret itself. That is, I must not interpret scriptures in my world. That's what we're trying to say. Hallelujah. I want to add one more. Who is what we've been looking at? It says, when a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. Add that. In Bible interpretation. When a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. When it says, and the serpent spoke to the woman. Snakes or serpents don't speak. They've never spoken and they will never speak. So when here the serpent spoke, it then means that the figure of speech. Stop thinking of Eve and a tree, and a snake just came and said, Eve, how are you? I said that God said you should not eat of this tree. Then she got up, which is intended. Also, when you hear the word tree of life, you know that there's no fruit that gives life. Amen? It means that it's a figure of speech. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a figure. It's not apple. It's not banana. It's not orange. It's not, no! It's not guava. No! It's a figure of speech. Hallelujah. What are you following me? So therefore, we have to relook at some things again. And so we looked at the word bless and the word eat last week. We looked at the word eat last week. Eat. Many a times when you hear eat, people think eat will mean to literally eat it with your mouth. But actually, that is not what it means. Many a times it's used figuratively. And last time we looked at Jesus in John chapter 6 when he said, my flesh is meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. Say, he that eats my flesh, and you now bring out your teeth to bite Jesus' flesh, you know you are a Dracula. Amen? Say, they say, eat my blood. If Jesus gives you his blood, will you drink? I'm not talking about wine, no, because some people think Jesus' flesh and Jesus' blood is Zobu. Your problem is you have been thirsty for Zobu. Blood, real blood, will you drink? So that means it's a figure of speech. Okay, so I have to read it figure it. I have to read it well. I must, if a figure of speech was true, I use it literally, I have missed it. And in scriptures, you have a lot of figures of speech. What are you telling me? You have a lot of figures of speech. So, the goal is to read, to interpret it properly. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we looked at the word eat last week and we said eat will be used for acceptance or to believe in God's kingdom. To believe in God's kingdom. It means to accept us, to believe in God's kingdom. You mustn't read it in your word today. So when Moses says, eat of the tree of life, we are talking about acceptance, a belief. Hallelujah. Amen? In their world, they want to show that we are friends, or we are from the same source, or we are friends. We will eat together to show I have accepted you. So eating is used to show that I have accepted this person as my friend. What are you saying? So Moses now says, eat of the tree of life. Eat. Don't worry. We're going to look at tree of life as we progress. Hallelujah. And tree of knowledge of good and evil. Those are some of the things we'll look at when we start talking about vision of God. Some of those things we'll look at later. Amen. Amen. So the tree of life will be figurative. It is not actually apple. So someone was saying something one time. He said, if Adam had not eaten apple, I said, what is wrong with you? Who told you it was apple? It was an apple. Because the apple would have written apple there. Good for you to see. In fact, if you get to Proverbs chapter, I don't want to do that. Amen. But if you get to Proverbs, wisdom is used for a tree. This wisdom for truth. Hallelujah. So you now see that it is a figure of speech. Hallelujah. It's a figure of speech. So I have to reread it well. Another word again that we must also learn to use properly, we're going to look at, is the word baptism, water, blood, fire, animals. He said, you must carefully look at that. Hallelujah. Remember, our teaching is on contending for the faith. We'll see why we have to go through this route when we begin to get into our teaching proper. Hallelujah. Why we need to actually look at words well. Go to God. Sometimes words like warfare, we don't understand what it means. What is warfare? Go to God. But let's take it a bit. But you mustn't read them in your word. When we look at the word baptism, what comes to the mind of many is water baptism. And many a times is not true from scripture. Once I hear baptism, baptizing scripture, it's not talking about water. In fact, I've heard someone say, until you are water baptized, you cannot enter into heaven. I say, are you normal? No. So what is the significance of water baptism? The significance of water baptism is not different from taking your bath in the morning at home. That really doesn't have any significant importance in Christianity today. But many of times it's because we don't know what it is for. Hallelujah. Can we look at it together? Let's see it again. Even if you say no, sir, I have it in my notes, we'll look at it again. Hallelujah. In the days of Moses, they had the practice of, in the days of Moses, they had the practice of worship. Of worship, rather. Now, let them worship. No, washing. They had a practice of washing. Washing. How you wash your body. Now, there are such practices. Now, those of us who are around on Thursday, I said something to us. I said, many a time, you find... We said the truth, many a time, or put it this way, truth will have its seed form in Genesis, right? It will be seen in Moses and the prophets as types and shadows. It will be found in Christ, or it found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the Word, or in the Word became flesh. It will be found as a practice of the church in the book of Acts, and then instructions or explained properly in their pieces. And he said, we are going to be looking at that and exploring the meaning of what those things mean. But very important, we say we'll find them as types and shadows in Moses and the prophets. And when you stick to types and shadows, when you use the word shadows there, shadows are not the real thing, right? That means they were used as examples, as practice to point to the real thing. So when you stick to the types and shadows, you will miss what was being communicated. When you stick to types and shadows, which is what the practice in Exodus, Leviticus Numbers, you will miss it. And we gave an example of type on Thursday. We say type. So you miss it. Many people miss it. Around the Exodus down to Deuteronomy. Okay, even to the prophets. Down to Malachi. They miss it. The people who get angry now say, tithe is in the law. Tithe is gone. We should not give again. And now use it to throw away both the baby and the bathroom water away. Amen. But they forget the fact that tithe was first mentioned where? In Genesis. Okay, in fact, the patriarch before the law gave tithe. So they miss it. Hallelujah. Because people want to stick with the shadows. Okay, so those who read your word will say, tithe! If not, it will be tithe for you. And they will say, then let's not give again. That's been your fault. Your problem is that you are stingy and you don't want to give. Amen? Amen. So we began to explore tithe, right? Explore a bit of fasting. But you don't stick to the shadows. That's what I'm going. That's where I'm going to. Don't miss it up. Plus the three shadows. And in Moses' day, they had washing with water as a practice to point to a greater fact in God's kingdom. They had the washings with water. So you wash with water. And it was to point to a greater fact. And remember, what Moses would give to them is always an illustration of what he was explaining to them. Moses had, so when you look at what Moses tells them, thou shalt not do, I mean, when he tells them to wash and do this and do that, always look at what he was saying before he gave them those facts. There was something Moses was saying. For example, in Exodus chapter 25 verse 5, verse 8. Quickly watch Exodus 25 verse 8. Look at what God was saying there. Verse 25. Are you there? Are you there? Look at verse 18 to 9. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary. Make sure you are there. Because many a time people just, Moses, no. There are some times Moses will give them, you have to look at what Moses was saying. I taught you this in Understanding the Gospel, series 2-8. I said, in the practices that Moses gave to them, always look out for what he said around when he gave them the practice. Those things he said, gave them as practice, would point to what he said. So don't look at the practice, you look at what he said. Amen. Okay, for you, look at what he said. For example, when they got to the point where they were thirsty, there was no water, and Moses spoke to God, and God said, speak to the rock. And Moses went, spoke to the rock, and water came out. You see that? That was a miracle. But that miracle was to point to a greater miracle. When you get to Deuteronomy, Moses will say, God is the rock. You see that? That means Moses, they have the miracle of water out of the rock, but Moses is using that miracle to show them God's fact in salvation. God is the rock. Now, when you now go to the rock and I say, this is God, and hug the rock, you are insane. Okay, when you now go to the physical rock and I hug the physical rock and say, this is God, then you are mental. Okay, but Moses is saying, just as the rock, there was water above the rock, said, God is the rock. You see that? Amen. Amen. So the question would now be, how will Moses use water? But before we get there, let's get to what I see to happen to. Exodus 25, look at it. He said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. You see that? Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. Stop! Before you think Moses is saying, let them make me a physical building. No. No. Say, let them make that. The word dwell amongst them is the word dwell in them. So when you use the word, let them make me a sanctuary, your mind should go back. You go down to John chapter 14. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. That is the sanctuary. Not the physical building. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. And then go to verse 9 and say, according to all that I showed thee, where? After the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so ye make it. And I think this moment pattern is according to the brief. No. No. Hallelujah. If you look at Hebrews chapter 8 quickly, Hebrews 8, let's rush up to Hebrews 8. Hope you're following me. Hebrews 8 from verse 4. The letter of Hebrews picks that up. Hebrews is after Timothy, Titus, Philemon, then Hebrews. Hebrews 8, I'll start from verse 4. It says, for if it were on earth, you should have been a priest, which is the high priest, the thing that there are other priests offering gifts according to the law now. Say, who serve? We're talking about God. Now let's talk about verse 1 so you understand. Now let's see which I've spoken. This is the sum. But this is the summation. We have such an high priest. Did you see that? Who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Right? The on high is where? Is where? Where is the on high? Come on, where is the on high? Where is the on high? He's in the believer. I've taught you that. The on high is in the believer. If you read, I've talked to that. If you read Ephesians, it says Jesus is seated on high. In chapter 2, now we are seated on high in Christ. So the on high is in the believer. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is seated on high? Before you begin to look at the on high as the moon, the stars, and the sun, no, you're missing it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Remember those days growing up, they told us, look at the moon very well, you see Jesus inside. How? 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 Amen. No. You look well, look at the moon, you see God and Jesus. Jesus at the right hand. No, the right hand is in the believer. Hallelujah. What are you following you? Amen. Look at this. Oh, Hebrews, right? Permit me. Okay. We're in verse 2. It says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Do you see that? Minister of the tabernacle, which God pitched and not man. So when it says minister of the tabernacle, which God pitched and not man, he's referring, there are two tabernacles now. One, the one that man pitched, which is in Moses, right? Moses tabernacle, and the one that the Lord built. Now he says, Jesus, the high priest, is the high priest of which tabernacle? The tabernacle that the Lord built. Is that John chapter 14? Emphatically, yes. In my father's oikia, in my father's family, there are many mansions there. If you don't know, so I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. Did you see that? Did you look at this last week with me? Hallelujah. As I shouldn't miss meeting. Glory to God. Amen. So can you see the two tabernacles now? God's tabernacle. Right? And God's tabernacle, when we looked at Okia last week, we say God's tabernacle will be what? His spirit in us. Right? 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 Okay. So, in answer, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Well, it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. Verse 4, if it were on earth, that is, if this tabernacle, or if this ministry is of the earth, right? Canal. Right? He said, you should not be a priest. See that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. That is, it's not of this. He's not talking about the physical tabernacle because there are already priests there. Right? But I'm talking about the spiritual tabernacle which is in my father's house. Right? Come on, follow me. Verse 5. He said, who serves? What serves? The physical one. He said, he serves as an example and shadow. Now when you use the word shadow, it's the word kia. Skia is used for what is not the real one. Amen. Imagine somebody looking at you and seeing your shadow and is greeting your shadow and leaves you. You say, yeah, I sure all right. Right? Are you normal? How can you be greeting shadow? This shadow, this is the real person, right? You tell shadow, let's label. How can you tell shadow, let's label? Right? Amen. So he calls the tabernacle of Moses, that Moses speaks, he called it a shadow. Okay, follow me. Now he used the word, he serves as an example. The one example there is the word eupodegma. Eupodegma. Eupodegma is used for an event or something that points to another thing. That is, a, like an event or a practice that points to a greater practice. That is to say, he's saying, this one is not the real thing, but this thing is showing you the real thing. So he's saying, the physical tabernacle is not the real tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moses is not the real tabernacle. But Moses will give it to them to point to the real tabernacle. Now let's move ahead. He said, as Moses was admonished of God, that is verse 29 that we read in Exodus chapter 25. He says, when he was about to make the tabernacle for sea, saith he, that thou make it according to the pattern. Now when you look at the word pattern, show thee in the mouth. It then means that what Moses gave to them physically,
at the tabernacle was not what Moses saw on the mountain. What Moses saw on the mountain, the tabernacle, physical tabernacle, was to point to what Moses saw on the mountain. So the question is, what did Moses see on the mountain? Moses didn't see a brick wall. Moses didn't see, how can I hear me? Moses didn't see a chair. No! What Moses saw is God in man. That's what Moses saw. Hallelujah! So what Moses saw was what God was going to do. God was going to dwell in man. So that is heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in her image. That is it. Genesis 2:14. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a help me. See that? So what Moses saw is God in man. So how will Moses now put God in man? Heaven and earth. How will Moses now do it? Moses wants to show them heaven and earth, that God will dwell in man. Moses will now say, let's make a tabernacle. They will now make a tabernacle. The tabernacle will now have the holiest of all. Where they will now have the ark. Now call that place the holiest of all. This is where God dwells. They will now have the outer court where man dwells. So when men come into the tabernacle, they are coming to meet God. In that tabernacle, you have man, you have God, showing you that there will be a union of God and man. Hope you are following me. That is what Moses is writing. Amen. But what did God say? I will dwell in them. I will dwell amongst them. Did you see that? Then Moses goes ahead and gives them a physical temple. So when you think what Moses is doing is, I'm going to go and see God where? In the tabernacle. You are missing it. Because the tabernacle was to point to the fact that God says he's going to dwell in man. Hope you're following that. The tabernacle was to point to the fact that God was going to dwell in man. So when you miss that and you are going into the tabernacle, physical tabernacle, to look for God, then you are having a problem. Hope you're following me. That means you're having a problem. Because God is not going to be found in the tabernacle. God is going to be found in man. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Something we're going to see shortly again. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Quickly, let's go to Acts 7. Verses 20, verses 46. Okay, I'll start from verse 44. Alright. Let's see. Acts 7:44. Let's all go there. If you don't have a Bible, share with someone. Come on. You have a Bible there? Okay. You guys should share this Bible there. Share this Bible. Hallelujah. I want us to read this all together. So it doesn't mean that the pastor is just talking alone. Hallelujah. Quickly, open to Acts 7. Quickly. I need us all to see this together. From verse 44. No, we say, what are you saying? Are you trying to say that God is not in the temple? What are you saying? What are you, God was in the physical temple. God is only in our heart. Amen. I will dwell among them. God wants to dwell in man. That is from Genesis 1. What are you telling me? Look at verse 34. Are you there? Are you there? Our fathers had the tabernacle in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. He used the word again, fashion. Meaning what Moses gave to them wasn't the real thing, but was to be like the real thing. Was to point to the real thing, but it wasn't the real thing. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? From the past. Which also our father that came after brought in Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Now look at verses 46. Who found favor before God and desired for a tabernacle for the Lord, for the God of Jacob. Is it that? But Solomon built him an house. Right? How big? How big? This is a disclaimer. It says, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Did you see that? Did you see that? The Most High, look at your Bible. The Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. That is to say, God never dwells in a physical temple. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Who obtained it? Was it? Was it? Who obtained it? Stephen that said it. No. Stephen was reading from the prophet. Said the Most High dwells not in temples with hands. Said, look at verse 9. Say, heaven is my throne and the earth is my fullness. Say, what house will ye build me? Fear the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Do you see that? Hallelujah. Say, has not my hand made all these things? Say, yes, sickness and uncircumcising heart and ears. Yet always receive the Holy Ghost as the Father's deed. So do ye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing it. Say, the Most High does not dwell in tabernacles made with hands. Go back again to that Hebrews chapter 8, where we went. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at what it says in verse 5. It says, an example and the shadow of heaven is in. As Moses had admonished of God, say, when he made the first tabernacle, see that he made it according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. Hallelujah. So that is very clear. So that means what Moses gave to them was pointing to the real temple. Because God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. What are following that? Temple made with hands. Okay. Are we good to go now? Let's close. Amen. 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 So when you leave what God is saying, what Moses is saying, and you are going into a physical temple, you're going to say, I'm going to look for God. Who should we take to Yavaleth? Is it not the man that is going into a physical temple to look for God, whereas God said, I'll do anything? Right? Right? For God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. That is to say, God does not dwell in bricks. That's what he's saying. He doesn't dwell in bricks. Amen. So that means, just like the temple that Moses gave to them, Moses also gave to them practice, like worship. Amen. Now, in their world, water is figuratively most times used for cleansing. Amen. Also used for the spirit. For the supernatural, right? Now, what I do for the supernatural, use for cleansing, use for a new beginning. So when they drank water from the wilderness, I like the way I used to say it before to us, but let me just say it like that, I enjoy it. It's not wrong. So when they drank water from the rock, I would say, God is the rock, where did the water get into? Into their system. So he says, what they will receive, the water that they will get will be the water from the rock. Take it like that. I like that. Amen. And that is the truth. The water will be supernatural. We're going to see that. Paul will now take that water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said they drank of that what? Spiritual rock that followed them. Look at that. Spiritual rock. So, spiritual rock, without the spiritual water too, fine. And the rock is Christ. The rock is God. Did you see that? So water is used figuratively for cleansing. New beginning is used for supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. So, listen to this. So when Moses now gave them water that is used for cleansing, and you now think, you that used to bath in the morning, take your bath in the morning, the afternoon, the night, and you now think it's ablution. You know, mother is ablution. Amen. Amen. When you go and wash your feet, you pick your bed, you don't see the ablution. You don't be asking yourself. You don't ask yourself, is ablution that made me clean? Sure, all right. What is the ablution doing that your picking of bed did not do better?
Amen. The water is coming from the same place. Sometimes even well water. Right, I did ablution, so I am clean. No. You are no more clean than the way you were when you took your bath in the morning. So, are we trying to say the water didn't make them clean? Hallelujah! The water that Moses gave to them to do washings, it wasn't, didn't make them clean. Rather, Moses gave them water for washings to show them that there will be a cleansing in Christ. The total cleansing. Hope you're following me. But water can make you clean. The same way sacrifices, which we are going to look at on Thursday. Sacrifices, if you look at Hebrews 9, quickly, let's look at Hebrews 9. We're still coming to water, Hebrews 9. Right out of Hebrews again. Hebrews 9. Okay, sorry, Hebrews 10, sorry. Hebrews 10. It says, for the law having a... Look at it, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the commerce thereunto perfect. For where they, for then would they not have ceased to be offered before the worshippers once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But if in those sacrifices there was a remembrance of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Isn't that? But Moses will give it to them to show that there will be the blood of Jesus that will take away sins. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. That to show that in God you would have the forgiveness of sins. In God's sacrifice, you will have the forgiveness of sins. Hope you are following me. But he will give them those things. And when you will not miss it, when they will not miss it, they will not leave God. God's sacrifice and not start killing cows. Is that not abnormal? It's abnormal. We are laughing at them today, but many of us are like that too today. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't leave it and start looking for cow to kill. I can use the blood. I need forgiveness. I am looking for cow. And whereas what Moses was doing was that was an illustration. Amen. It was an illustration. So it's like you're teaching me, like I'm teaching you now, and I say just like Ronaldo. Disgrace all those who are here being him by scoring 2 goals against PSG. You know that? And you now know what I'm teaching you. Another day dancing, see Ronaldo, see boy, as the savior. No, you have missed it. Amen. See Ronaldo was added because of what? Was added so that you can further understand what I'm saying. Amen. So that was what Moses was doing. He was teaching them, and then he was saying, just like if you kill an animal and you do it, okay, this animal that you will be killing, just to remind you of the fact that there will be forgiveness in God, and you now leave what I said and started doing this alone, forgetting the fact that there will be forgiveness in God. What are you following me? Thinking is this one I will take away sins. No! Hallelujah! So the illustrations were added to aid the teaching that Moses was giving to them. So the tabernacle that was built was added to aid the teaching. That when you see the tabernacle from afar, you will know that God wants to dwell in man. Did you see that? So you now left that God wants to dwell in man and began to run into the tabernacle. Did you see that? Amen. Hope you are understanding me. Let's get to our water now. It's water we are looking at that is making us go like this. Water. So when it gets to water, so what is water for? Cleansing. In Ezekiel 36. Just around now. Ezekiel 36. Are you there? Verse 24. Look at what it says. Verse 24. Are you there? Say, I will take you from amongst the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you to your own land. Now the Hebrew doesn't put the word own land. I will bring you to the land, not your own land. If you think it's Israel as a country, no, not to your own land, but to the land. That's the word Adama, used for a land. And when you talk about land, your mind will go back to where? Land filled with milk and honey. Before you think it's Canaan land, you're already Canaan, but it talks about a land. You see that? Amen. But the thing is, what land is he talking about? He said, and Abraham looked for that land, not Canaan. That land will be what? God's garden. Where Adam was chased out from. That will be God's garden. Where Cain was taken away from. Did you see that? That will be the land. Hallelujah. So, listen, we're going somewhere. Verse 25. Then, though he's not telling you what will happen in the land. So the land will be God, right? Will it be God? I'll bring you to myself. Is that what it means? Right? Come on, look up. Is it, I'll bring you to myself? What will be the land? God's garden, God's presence, God himself. Amen. Amen. You're in the world. God himself. I'll bring you to my land. To your land. Okay, that is God's land. Now, what will happen in the land? I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And ye shall be clean. And when you are thinking in physical water, no. Then from all your feet and your heart will I cleanse you. 26. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Did you see that? So what does he call the water? The water is the spirit. The water is the spirit. So water cannot wash sin. Water cannot make you clean from sin. Water can only clean the physical body, but cannot clean sin. So remember, I was saying when a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended, right? So water is used figuratively for what? The spirit. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. A figure of speech is intended. So he calls the spirit, he calls the water the spirit. In John 3, Jesus is speaking. Nicodemus came to meet him. He asked him, and Jesus said in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Will you have to go back to his mother's man be born again the second time? And be born the second time. And in John chapter 3, verse 4. Make sure your Bible is there. And Jesus responded and said to him, said, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So I said, okay, if you are not born of water, so what does it mean to be born of water? They accept you are baptized. Come on. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. At least, apart from Mona Chimso and Michelle, everybody has gone through primary 1 to 6. Right? At least you have little knowledge of something. You have sense. Amen. Now look at everybody look here. Born of water. Amen. If a man is baptized, put into water and brought up, does it mean he is born of water? Eh? Does it mean the person is born of water? Eh? So let's use born of water literally. Let's use it literally. What does it mean to be born of water literally? Let me see your help. Literally, from literally. Exactly. When a man enters water and comes out, does it mean he's born of water? Eh? You only enter water, come on. Say again. So, let's use it literally. Born of water. What does it mean? Born by water. What does it mean? Mommy? Again? Somebody else? Mommy water? You don't know? Mommy water? Literally. Is Jesus saying, except a man is mommy water? No! Amen! So that means sometimes you need to use your... Sometimes I tell people, you don't need to leave your brain somewhere when you are reading your Bible. You read well. That means, you have to be talking about mommy water there. Because everyone wants mommy water there, I don't know. Because in their world, they look like mommy water. It's Africa. Amen. So that means, we have to read it again. So what does it mean that the man is born of water?
He uses it well. He says, hand of the Spirit. That word hand is the word kai. Amen. Or what you call kehi. Except a man is born of water, kai. And that word kai there, if you use the word kai there, it's not used like how you use hand today. Hand means this and this. No, it's not the same. The word kai there means that is. So what Jesus is saying, except a man is born of water, that is the Spirit. So Jesus is calling the water Spirit. You see that? So he said, except a man is born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So that means, what Jesus calls the water is the Spirit, just like Ezekiel. Hope you're following that. Just like Ezekiel, just like Moses. Jesus' explanation of Scripture is not different from Moses. It's not different from Ezekiel. If Jesus is saying what Moses did not say, then Jesus is not the Savior. Oh yes. Jesus and Moses will say the same thing. But look at me. That is the truth. John chapter 5. He says, if you believe Moses' words, if you believe Moses' writings, you believe my words. For he wrote concerning me. John chapter 5 verses 46. If you believe Moses, you believe me. For he wrote concerning me. So Moses and Jesus will stand together, they will fall together. Hallelujah. Say, but sir, what is the people that say Moses is gone? Moses and Jesus are fighting. No, Moses and Jesus can't fight. Hallelujah. Amen. So if there is any contradiction between Moses and Jesus' words, the contradiction is not in the Bible, the contradiction is in your head. So you have to reread it again. There is no contradiction between Moses and Jesus' words. They will stand together and fall together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Get to John chapter 4 quickly. Okay. Let's begin round up. John 4. Let's begin round up now. John 4 verses 10. Jesus met the Samaritan woman. Verse 10. He met a Samaritan woman, and look at what he said to her in verse 10. He just said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and not given you living water. Living water? Before you think, Jesus was talking about physical water. Eh? Look at what the woman said. He said, you want to give water, you don't even have what to draw from. You see that? Or you want me to give you what I don't have what to draw from. And the woman said to her, sir, look at what the woman said. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? She's reading it. Did you see that? So, Jesus is talking about the living water. She's thinking Jesus was talking about the physical water. Step on your knee. So, what is it? You don't have what to draw from. How can you give me living water? Did you see that? Amen. Look at what Jesus now said. In verse 13. Jesus now said to her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the physical water that they had, the well. Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. Now says, whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But did you see that? Shall never thirst. You should ask yourself, what water is this? It can't be physical water. It can't be pure water. It can't be rather pure water. It can't be aqua water. It can't be. Hallelujah. Amen. It can't be ever water. It can't be ever water. Glory to God. It can't be aqua rafa water. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It has it. In verse 14. In other words, the water that I give to him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I say, give me this water that I will drink and not thirst again. Sure, if you really need it, try. But it says, it's the water that will spring up to everlasting life. As the water that quenches all taste. Not physical taste. When you're taking a physical taste, you miss it. Hallelujah. That quenches all things. Hallelujah. And he calls the water life. You know that? Jesus calls the water life. Life. And if you read chapter 3 again, go back to chapter 3, Jesus uses life and spirit interchangeably. So that means he calls the water life, which is the spirit. Hope you're following me. In John 7, I want to show you something in John 5 and 6, but let's jump to John 7. Because of time. John 7, 37. In the last day, also, on the last day. Say, sir, in the last day, you are missing it. Because you always read with last day as rapture. Rapture. No. In the last day, he calls it the what? The last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Imagine Jesus saying, if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And quickly you carry your bucket and say, oh yeah, give me. What do you want to drink? If you really want to take, right? If you are going and say, Lord, pour in my mouth, let me drink. You are missing it. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. And I said, out of my belly. Look at it. You know, some people say, out of their own belly. Amen. Say, you need to see that. Man of God, look at your belly. Your belly is the belly that flows with living water. Not true. Hallelujah. We are said, in the last of the scripture, and drink, say, he that believeth on me, verse 38, as the scripture says, out of his belly, not the belly of the person, his own belly, actually, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Did you see that? Rivers of living water. What does it mean? Verse 39. But this spoke he of the spirit. So, of the what? Spirit. So, what is the spirit there? The water. You see that? Of the spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Should what? Receive. So that means the water is the spirit. So Jesus uses water for what? Spirit. Amen. Jesus uses water for what? Spirit. The spirit. John 13. For the spirit. For a new beginning. In the spirit. Hallelujah. A new start in the spirit. John 13. Hope you are there with me. Verse 5. Hope you're understanding what I'm teaching you today. Hope you're understanding it. Hope you understand. I mean, how many of you are understanding what I'm saying to you now? You understand it, right? Okay, look at John 13. Quite something you need to see, John 13. Look at the side. And he poured water into a basin, Jesus said, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was greeted. So Jesus began to wipe their feet, began to wash their feet. Today, the centuries are practicing this. And Jesus will laugh at them, say, that was she, see, that was not what Jesus meant. And you that are laughing them, washing feet, you are the one drinking communion. This just happened immediately after the communion. Jesus began to wash that. So it's the same thing. Amen. Amen. Look at what he said to them. They have to wash their feet. Look at verse 7. Okay, no. Verse 6. They were washing their legs. And then cometh Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know, Peter is very amazing. He says, no. So you wash my feet? No. You shall never wash my feet. That's what he said to Jesus. So you shall never wash my feet. That is verse 8. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said to him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Watch Jesus' response. Everybody look at Jesus' response in verse 8. What's the difference in Jesus' response and Peter's saying? Look at it. Verse 8. What did Peter say? You cannot wash my feet. What was Jesus' response? Is it the same as what Peter was saying? Is it the same? look at it again. What's the difference there? What's the difference? What's the difference? Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I wash thee not." Jesus didn't say, "If I wash not your feet." He said, "Say, if I wash thee not, you have no part in me." You hear that? We're going to deal with washing next week. We're going to see washing. Amen. Wash. But Jesus said, "If I wash." Now, Jesus' response was not feet. His response was washing. You hear that? But he was saying the physical washing of feet was a pointer to a washing that they will receive. If I wash you not, you have no part in me. What did Peter now say? Not just wash my feet, wash my head, wash my body. But he's still missing. Because Jesus is saying is what? If I wash thee not. Is that? Because the washing with water was referring to the spirit. Amen. You have no part in me. So, Jesus' use of water is spirit. Hallelujah. Look at already. I think we're going to look at some of those things next week. Hallelujah. So Jesus' washing is what? The spirit. So when he says you have no part in me, is that when a man has the spirit of God, he is in Christ. Hallelujah. That's what it means. So that indwelling of the spirit is God washing. Amen. Amen. What about already? Amen. So the indwelling is the washing. And that indwelling is a new beginning. Remember, the water is used for a new beginning. So water is used for cleansing. So the indwelling, the Spirit of God in a believer is cleansing, is washing, is a new beginning. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you have no part with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the water. Therefore, when you now talk about, when you see this, and then you now go there to talk about baptism. Baptism. And if you read John 1 verse 29, let me just run through this commentary, and then we'll stop for there today and pick it up next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 1 29. John points out to us that John seeing Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." That, so John was preaching about Jesus and he says he will take away the sins of the world. Right? He will take away the sins of the world. He's telling them that there will be a new beginning. A new beginning in the Messiah. That's been the teaching of Moses. Right from there. That there will be a new beginning in the Messiah. There will be a cleansing in the Messiah. So he saw Jesus come and say, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. And what did he do? He will now illustrate it. He will illustrate it by doing what? By baptizing them into water. Now he will now put them into water to make them see that, see, when they get into water and they will come out, it means that you will be cleansed, and your coming out will mean there will be a new beginning. Where? In the Messiah. So the water baptism is the what? Is the illustration of what he taught. So when you, if today you are not running for, "I want to do water baptism, oh, so I can be born again or I can be saved," you are not different from the children of Israel that God said, "I will dwell amongst them," and they were running into tabernacle. Did you see that? They're not different from Peter, that Jesus said, "Except I wash thee, you are not, you have no part in me," and you are saying, "Wash my head, wash my leg, wash my feet." Not different from him then. They're not different from the woman at the well that Jesus said, "I will give you water, the living water that springs up unto life," and you are saying, "Where is your bailer that you use to fetch the water?" They're not different. What about the lady? You're not different. You're the God. Because all those things are illustrations in Moses concerning what?
Or you're not different from the children of Israel too, where Moses says, God is the rock, and you go and hug rock and say, this is God. You're not different from them. Hallelujah. So you see, John will give them water baptism to show what he's teaching. But John's baptism is not water baptism. John's baptism is concerning Christ. The question is, what is baptism? Baptism is used for identification. Hallelujah. We want to look at all this next week. John's baptism is not water baptism. John's baptism is what? John's baptism is his message. Hallelujah. It's not water. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. So before we get to Acts 13, let's start with a little something in front. I like to do this first. Acts 19, then we'll go back to Acts 13, 24. Acts 19, are you there? Okay, let's start with this one. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finally said to the disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, you have not heard where there is any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, whereunto were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And he said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, did you see John's baptism? In verse 4, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, you of say unto the people, thou should believe on him which would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So John's baptism was a message. Did you see that? John's baptism was a what? Message, not the water. The water was the illustration of his baptism. John's baptism was a message of repentance. The water was the illustration of the message of repentance. Hope you are saying that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 10, verse 24. Let's round up here. We'll continue from here next week. Hallelujah. 24. Acts 13, 24. It says, when John had first preached before his coming, the coming of Jesus, or before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. You see that? Now you see the word coming. It's not something we're looking at today. But he calls it baptism. He calls it preached. So John's baptism was a message that he preached. You see that? He preached the baptism. Amen. So John's baptism wasn't a physical washing, but first a message. Then the washing was to show them what will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So therefore, when you now miss that and you begin to go after water washing, then you are missing it really. We'll pick it up from here next week. Though I was thinking we would get into some other things, getting into the subject of the day, but we couldn't. Hallelujah. So John's baptism was a message of God's repentance. Or of repentance and God's forgiveness of sins. So that means, when a man gets saved, he has received the baptism. Hallelujah. That is the baptism. The baptism means identification. The baptism means immersed into. So in salvation, we are immersed into Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. I just think I should say this as we go. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Do you see that? Ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It will say you will be washed or sanctified. Say, ye are washed. Say, I'm washed. Because I'm in Christ. Say, because I'm in Christ, I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is who we are in Christ. So you must learn to use words the way Scripture taught us to use words. Amen. As we get into next week, we'll look at baptism again. We'll go further on it, and then we'll discuss more on warfare, fight. And what is the Christian faith? We will get into our subject. What is the Christian faith? How do I contend for it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It becomes very vital. It becomes very vital. Have you learned something today? Have you learned something today? Talk to someone and share with the person what you've learned. Make sure you are in a group of three. You need to discuss what you learned.